This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast brought to you by AbsFam, ABSFAM.com, for the coolest hockey shirts you can't find anywhere else because they're not available anywhere else. They're only available at AbsFam.com. In the past three games, the Colorado Avalanche have looked like somebody else's team, a team that we haven't seen a whole lot of this season and a team that I'd like to see a whole lot more of. The three-game stretch that we are speaking of started with the Winnipeg Jets, moved on to the Montreal Canadiens, and then the cup-defending Pittsburgh Penguins. So I think it's fair to say that something has changed with the Colorado Avalanche. Something has clicked. And while it's way too late for it to matter for this season, it is good to see something on the positive swing. Now, we all know that Jerome Iginla is going to be leaving the Colorado Avalanche. Exactly when that happens, nobody knows, but it's a certain thing that it will happen. It's sort of a gift that the Avalanche are giving to Iginla to get him out of town to a place where he might actually be able to compete for a cup or at least play in the playoffs. What I didn't expect to see was Jerome Iginla come out playing better than he has all season long. He came out with fire, he came out with speed, and he came out with spunk. And he had a lot to do with the Colorado Avalanche winning in their second highest scoring game of the season against the Winnipeg Jets. So here's the thing, you could say that Jerome Iginla is playing better hockey because he knows he's about to be traded and he wants to look good for any teams out there that would like to be his suitor, but you could also say that he doesn't want to leave Colorado the way that it's gone all season, and he's putting a little extra effort and a little extra spunk into his game so that when he does leave this place, it's on a bit higher note than it has been for the previous parts of the season. And to that end, good on you, Iggy. And another player who played some really good hockey and is rumored to be leaving the team, although I wish he wouldn't, is Matt Duchene. Matt Duchene tied his career high with three assists in the game, something he's done twice before, once on March 8, 2016 versus Chicago, and another one April 26, 2013 against the Phoenix Coyotes. Or was it Arizona at that point? Anyways, Matt Duchene was quoted after the game as saying, "We played like an NHL hockey team tonight. We hadn't had many showings like that lately, so it's nice to put a game together like that. It felt like the start of the year." That's profound to me right there, the idea that it felt like the start of the year. Like, everything else to this point has just been a struggle, which clearly it has. But for him, this was kind of a breakthrough, and it goes hand in hand with this clicking that seems to be happening with the team right now. Everyone's putting up a better effort, everyone's getting to the puck first, everyone's winning the battles, and everyone is putting the puck on the net. So to see the Avs pull it all together for one game is cool, but it could be a fluke, right? Well, how about two games in a row? And so in the very next game of their three-game homestand, the Colorado Avalanche took on the Montreal Canadiens, who are a pretty damn good team. Well, what if I was to tell you that Calvin Pickard would get a shutout and Mikko Rantanen would get a hat trick? Let that soak into your brain for a minute. You wouldn't put money on that, right? You wouldn't bet me anything that that would happen. Well, guess what? It did happen. Mikko Rantanen is only the fourth rookie in Avalanche history to score a hat trick in his rookie season. The other people have been Marek Svatos, who did it in 2005-2006, Radim Vrbata, who did it in 2001-2002, and of course, Nathan MacKinnon, who did it at the age of 19 and 174 days on February 22nd, 2015. While all of that is way cooler than the idea that Barbario got a point against his old team, don't lose that thought right there, because it's a pretty cool thing. And even cooler is what he said after the game when they asked him, did it feel good? Was it kind of poetic justice? He didn't lie. He's like, yeah, it felt great. I love it when players are real about things. I don't like the whole locker room talk. I like it when players just speak their mind, use words, be real. And I will read you two more quotes that I find highly interesting. These coming from the Avs PR account, by the way. You can go check them out for yourself. One of those, again from Mark Barbario, is, it's huge. You know, we had two quick goals and it was able to get us some momentum. It's always easier to play with the lead. And when the other team has to start chasing a bit, they open up a bit more. Again, it was a great team effort. I love this quote for a lot of reasons, but the primary one is it's good to have some new blood around the Colorado Avalanche, somebody who isn't so beat down by all the negativity that this team has been experiencing over the course of this year and last year and quite a few years. And while Barbario isn't saying anything that anybody doesn't know at this point, sometimes you just need to hear it again, and he's absolutely right. It's a lot easier to play with the lead, so anytime that we can get that, that's a plus. The other quote comes from Max Pacioretty, who says, "We knew they would come out hard, especially after the last game we played against them. It was unacceptable the way we started. We knew they were going to give it their all. You know, after the results in our building, we just played a very poor game." Amen, they did. But you know what happened? The Avalanche didn't play down to their level. The Avalanche went ahead and played their game, and they got ahead, they got the lead, and they won the game against a very awesome goaltender, by the way, in Carey Price. So as the Avalanche walk into their third game against the Pittsburgh Penguins in this three-game homestand, you gotta be wondering, can they go 3-for-3 in this stand? And by the way, who the hell is this team? So sadly, the answer is no, but you know what didn't happen? The Avs didn't get blown out of their own building, even though the score might look like it against the Penguins. The Avs played really good hockey. They definitely didn't get bounces, and the Penguins did get a few bounces. And I'm not a guy who likes to speak to puck luck a whole lot, but how many posts did MacKinnon hit? Not just in that game, but in that whole three-game series. He was quoted later saying that hockey is a game of millimeters. which is a very nice take on hockey as a game of inches. And he's absolutely right. But the thing is he's got to bring that in a couple of millimeters. This guy is beating goalies. He's just not beating posts. But, you know, that's easy to say, and I am no all-star athlete like he is. So, to his credit, he is raw talent who's becoming more and more refined all the time. And I think that all these chances he's getting, sooner or later, they're going to go in. And he's going to have a breakout season, and hopefully after that, he's going to have a breakout consistency streak. But for the Avs to go 2-for-3 at home, that's pretty impressive, folks. So let's circle back now and talk about a couple of the things that happened throughout this three-game series. Things that were impressive, things that were annoying, things that were just things. Anytime you hear this little beep, that means we've moved on, by the way. Nikita Zadorov is a big man, and he is a guy that a lot of people have had questions about. Many people want to know, did we win the trade with Ryan O'Reilly by getting him and getting Gregorenko? Gregorenko is still Gregorenko at this point. Who knows? He could be great. We'll see what happens. Probably not, though. He's probably going to be a third-line guy if we keep him at all. But Zadorov, on the other hand, this guy's playing some really intense hockey right now. The best thing about him is he's a big dude, and he's actually holding up and pulling up on people and still destroying them. He has put fear into the heart of anyone who passes his blue line. He's causing plays to be broken up just by his sheer presence on the ice. The Avalanche haven't had such a mythical creature on the blue line since the days of Ray Bourque or Rob Blake. And while it's completely unfortunate, the idea that you must fight somebody if you make a big hit, even if it's clean, Big Z doesn't seem fazed at all. He'll drop the miss with you. If you come across this blue line, he'll put his ass into you and put you through the damn wall. If you put the puck on his stick and give him a chance at that goal, he's going to put a hole through the goalie. If anything, I would say that the one thing that Big Z is still going to have to figure out is how not to take penalties for just being bigger. If you've checked out any of our recent videos, check out the show notes, by the way, you'll see a little clip that we put together that shows that Big Z isn't leaving the ice. He is not going for people's heads. The fact of the matter is his shoulder is at the top of another guy's head. He is head and shoulders above these other guys. He's actually bending down to try to get his shoulder on shoulder and put his shoulder into somebody's chest. I mean, are we really going to call penalties just because a guy's bigger? Is that really fair? I mean, Bufflin's been dealing with this forever. His average movement, his average strength is destroying people. His size means that his shoulder's always at somebody's head. I don't know if we can keep calling it that way. I mean, if we're asking these guys to bend down and try to make a hit on a smaller guy so that they don't go shoulder on head, well, guess what? We're going to start taking out knees, and that's not any better. I am not saying I have an answer to this problem, but I am saying that I think that a lot of the calls on Big Z are just because he's a big man and just because the referees feel like they have to do something to calm the game down. And as a last thought on Big Z, let me remind you, he's had his head removed and he did not bitch, he did not moan, he did not complain. He got up, skated off the ice, and afterwards he said, you know what, I had my head down, I lost count of who came on the ice, and I paid for it. That's it. Hockey. Hockey happened to him. Hockey's happening to other people. Get over it, people. As of the recording of this podcast, a few things have happened. Eric Jolna has been sent down to the AHL, likely because Tyson Barrie is coming back and because Barbieri has been playing well enough to keep his job. And on the goalie front, Spencer Martin has been sent down and Jeremy Smith has been called up, which brings me to goalies. Let's just recap what it's like to be a goalie for the Colorado Avalanche in the last season. Number one, none of the goalies are playing very good because none of the goalies are getting any goals to work with. Now, I'm not saying that the goalies would be good otherwise, but the fact of the matter is, if you're not scoring goals on the other team, your goalie has zero chance to keep you in a game. So for somebody like Semyon Varlamov, this is business as usual. This is what he's seen his entire time with the Colorado Avalanche. He's never really had a good defensive core in front of him, and he really hasn't gotten the goals that he needs to be the goalie that everybody thinks that he is. He has some of his own faults that he has to deal with, like consistency and so on, but one of those faults really caught up with him. And from my eyes and what I've seen from the situation, he had a mandated visit to the doctor that ended up being a surgery, which ended up being the end of his season. Which brings us to Calvin Pickard, who is now getting a chance to be the starting goalie. We've all seen him play a game here, a game there, come in when somebody wasn't playing good, but now it's his job, and it's his job night after night, which means that he is going to be put under pressure. How do you know if a goalie's good if you don't see him over and over? How do you know a goalie's good if he doesn't get blown out one night and have to come back and forget about that night and be a better goalie the next night? Well, now we have our chance to see what's going on with Calvin Pickard. And it's been so-so. I haven't heard anybody saying that we should get rid of Barley in place of Pickard at this point, but I also haven't seen anybody saying that we should keep Pickard as our number one goalie. I think our goalie situation is really up in the air right now, and that's where somebody like a Spencer Martin becomes really interesting, but let's be honest. And as AJ Hafley and JJ Jerez of BSN Avalanche have said, he's not really ready. He's game, he wants to play, he has some really awesome weird things that he does before a game, but when the game's actually going on, he's got some little points that he's going to get lit up for in the NHL, and he's not ready to go. So why has he been up here? Well, that changed in recent times too. He's been sent down to the AHL, where he hasn't had a good showing since he's been back, but Jeremy Smith, who I know zero about, is evidently supposed to be the guy who comes in this situation. He's finally up here with the team, and I think that he's going to stay. I don't think that we're going to see any more of Martin. I think that they wanted to know what they had in him. They have their answer, and it's something to do with the future. And while you'd think after all that rambling and recapping, we would have some sort of profound thing to tell you right now, we really don't, because we don't know. With the expansion draft coming up, with Varlamov's surgery and not knowing how he's going to recover or what kind of goalie he's going to be after that, and with picks playing the rest of the year and either proving or disproving his ability to be the starter for the Colorado Avalanche, everything is up in the air. Everything is in limbo. The only thing that really seems certain at this point is it's going to be this way for the next couple of years, unless the Avalanche make some trade that includes a goaltender, which I highly doubt, because they have a highly paid goaltender right now that they're not going to be able to offload for anything important. And they're going to have to ride it out and see what they can get. True, they could draft a goalie in this next draft, but I don't think there's a goalie good enough in this next draft to walk into the NHL within the next 2 or 3 years. There was a time earlier in the season where I was pretty convinced that if we exposed one of these goalies in the draft, one of them would go, but I don't think that's the case anymore. I think the Colorado Avalanche have the goaltending that they have right now, and it's going to last a few years, and from there, we'll see what's going on. My hope is that Vardy comes back better than ever, that this mandated surgery, this mandated time off, this mandated get your shit together, I hope it works. I'm a big fan of Riley, and I think he still has a lot to prove to a lot of people, and I think he can do it. Healthy's going to help a lot, though. So word on the street is that there is an old GM of the Colorado Avalanche who has reappeared healthy and looking for a job. How interesting is that? Well, it just so happens that we're going to have a that's on the list. We're going to talk to him about that and many other things, but until then... This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AvSpam, absfam.com. Super awesome hockey shirts, stickers, and whatnot for super awesome hockey people. Go check it out. If you like the show, tell your friends about it and then go subscribe. You can do that at iTunes by searching for Colorado Hockey, or you can just go to coloradohockey.com and click on the button that says Get It on iTunes. Stay awesome, people.